twinkling of an eye, that catching away, that moment when everything changes. And praise God, I want you to know that there is a day. All right, there is a time. In the Greek, it's called the harpazo, the catching away. If somebody will open up their Bible to these two scriptures real quick, and we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about when will it happen. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to focus on 50 through 54. 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll bring it home and study it from verse 1 to the end, you will find everything you need to know about the resurrection. It has everything in it, everything you need to know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from 1 all the way, I think it's through 50, might even be through 60, somewhere around there. But anyhow, through the end, and you'll know everything you'll ever need to know about this. But for that particular time, we're going to focus on verse 50 through 54. If anybody has that, can you read it?
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Oh, death, where is that sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory, right? And so in that right there, we see some very important things as the scripture unfolds, that he's showing us a mystery. What is a mystery? Something we really don't understand, all right? The catching away is something we really, I mean, we're going to have some clues about it, but we know for a fact that it's a mystery, all right? Paul is giving some insight in these two books right here about when he saw some things that he saw when he was stoned to death was the outside of Ephesus? I know a man, whether in the body or not in the body, I can't say, but this man was called up to the third heaven, and he was shown some things that are unlawful to speak about. Right. All right, so he was brought and shown the same stuff that John the Apostle was shown, the heavenly vision. All right, and so when it goes, and you can go back in the book of Acts, I wish I could call that place. I think it was Ephesus, but it may have not been.
No, it wasn't. It was I think it was a joint close to that.
It's right around in there. And so anyhow, he had cast out a demon out of a woman, the silversmith demon, and they took him outside and they stoned him, right? And the church picked him up, thought he was dead, brought him back, God gave life back to him, all right? So anyhow, within that, he saw some things, and he's telling us here that we don't need to overly worry, because those who are in Christ will get out of here someday. And I got good news for you. Every one of us are going to get out of here someday. And some of us might die in our sleep, you're going to physically die, and some of us will be caught away. But either way, praise God for that. I was looking up, and I'm talking, and the whole side of the snow slid off with the ceiling all at one time. Caught my eye. So anyhow, squirrel. I think it was Lystra. Yep.
Right.
And so in that time he saw some things, and in these we have some clues in this scripture right here. The corruption must put on incorruption. What does that mean? Because we're talking about the harpazo.
You gotta have an immortal body.
Yes. Absolutely. Yep. Celestial and terrestrial.
Yes.
All right.
Sin nature removed.
There you. Thank you. The sin nature has got to be removed. He tells us that our flesh, your skin, ain't going to heaven. All right. So when you were taught that you're going to just start floating away, the only skin that's in heaven belongs to who?
Jesus.
Why?
Because of sin.
Amen. Yeah. Because he was sinless, he did not have any sin. So he could bring his flesh to heaven. Nobody else's flesh is sinless. And in the presence in the very heavenly realms up there, no sin, no darkness will ever be seen. So praise God. You understand this, that when this catching away happens, when it does come to fruition, fulfillment, that your skin is not going. You're going to change from a terrestrial being to a celestial being. There's the real you is going to leave the corpse that you're wrapped in. You know, so if I look around here, all I see is dead people. So anyhow, all we see is dead people, really and truly, right? Yeah, we all this flesh, this bag that we're in, is dying every day. And there's going to come a day that this bag is going to be laid in the ground. Right? And the real you is going to go to the God whom you have served. You'll either be going to the Father kept in the bosom of Jesus Christ until the day of the resurrection, right? But your body's going to stay in the ground. You're going to rot. Go ahead, And so it says here that there's a time that it happens at the last trumpet. Right? And so I'll show you a mystery now. But in verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right? So when's that going to happen?
Last
trump. All right. Is there a spot in the Word of God that talks about the trumpets?
Sure.
Okay. Is there? Amen. In Revelation. And we'll as we get into this, because it's going to get hairy here, the last trump. When is the last trump?
Revelation 11, 15 to 19.
All right, so when are we going to get out of here?
Last trump.
Revelation 11. Right. You know, anybody here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18?
Where are we
at? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
But I will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Let me read verse 1 of chapter 5.
But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you.
Verse 2.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night.
Amen. All right, so what did we learn just from that portion of Scripture right there? Go ahead. The dead in Christ, there's coming a day. All right, there's coming a day. And we also remember that it's a mystery. In fact, he tells us in verse 2 of chapter 5 that the day of the Lord comes as a thief. No, we really do not know the moments that this is going to happen. But we do know that there are some seasons that is plainly marked out in the Scripture. There are signs, right? And we can definitely know the seasons, but it's you don't know the moment. Because remember, how fast is this going to happen? Twinkling of an eye, half of a blink.
In a moment,
in a twinkling of an eye, right? And so it's, when this happens, it's going to happen really fast, but the upbuild to it will take a while. All right, it's like being blindfolded on a roller coaster. You just don't know, especially if you're not looking. You're going. Life is just going and going and going. Then all of a sudden, the bottom falls out. Right? That's what this is going to be like. That's what this catching away is going to be like. When it happens, It's going to happen quickly. So we need to all be prepared. All right, so the mystery, when will this happen? Again, it's a mystery. Matthew 24:42 and Matthew 25:13 both tell you, Jesus tells you, I'm coming as a thief, you don't know when I'm getting here. Basically. All right, that's what he's telling. Again, in Mark 13:33-35, again, I'm coming as a thief, you don't know when I'm getting here. It's going to happen. It's going to happen quick. And so if we'll open up, then we'll do Mark and 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. We've already done part of it. Well, we can do Matthew. Let's just do verses 42 and Matthew 25:13. Anybody go, let the Lord read that, and then we'll go to Mark 13:33-35. Mark. Matthew 24.
Matthew 42. Right?
Yeah, 24:42. Chapter 24, verse 42, and chapter 25, verse 13.
Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Mm-hmm. 25:13.
Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Okay, so what did Jesus just say there? Two things.
Watch,
because you don't know.
No.
That means be prepared. That watch, stay alert. And anybody who has ever stood guard on something, you have to go ahead.
The scriptures give us markers to watch.
Amen. Yes. Yes. And we'll get into those. Yeah, there's some time indicators. Absolutely. We've been going through those.
If you didn't know that there was indicators,
yes.
Why watch?
Yeah.
Not to be overtaken with the
darkness. Not, amen. Not to be amen. Go ahead.
The parable of the virgins.
Parable of the sheep and the goats. Parable of the talents. All of the kingdom parables tell you this very same thing.
What?
That there's coming a day, we need to be alert. Daniel says, when we know these things are coming to happen, there's a particular event that's going to come about. And it's the signing of a covenant with Israel that lasts for 7 years. Okay? And what that covenant is going to do is going to be bringing the house of Israel back together. I think of Daniel chapter 7 talks about that. Talks about there's a covenant coming. I personally believe that the Abrahamic Accord that has just started being signed, because it says he will sign the covenant with many.
So do I. Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. With many. So he's bringing... where Jacob and Esau split, he's bringing all of those nations, the 12 nations that were of Esau and all of their descendants, and the nations that were of Jacob, Israel, and all of their descendants, he's bringing them back to one spot. Okay? And on that Temple Mount, there will be a new temple constructed, not the temple that's talked about in Ezekiel. That's a different temple. It's much bigger. If we get into it, I mean, I got all the sizes of the walls and stuff like that in my head, but that would just blow you way out of the spot where we're at right now. There's the Ezekiel temple that's talked about. This temple, we have in our imagination something as grand as Solomon's temple or as grand as Herod's temple, but it may be as grand as the temple that was, or the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. See, we think that this, when this covenant is signed, and at the midpoint of this covenant, when the abomination of desolation happens, we have this ideal that it's going to be this huge building. It could very well simply be a tent.
Then what is the one in Ezekiel that you're talking about?
Millennial reign.
Oh, okay.
That is during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, and we will get into that, unfold that a little bit closer when we get into it. That's a complete study, months long in itself. And to answer this question, you know, we'll get into all of that as it unfolds.
No, so the one we're talking about, but like you're saying, like small.
Yes. Yeah. It does not. It now could be a decent sized building. Don't get me wrong. It took. I was working with the Nichols team and the new building over here, Barilla. We built Barilla in less than 6 months. Okay, that's a big place, right? Right? It's built up concrete. The technology's here. It could be done quickly and it could be big. But it does not have to be big. All they have to do is reinstitute the sacrificial system. That's all they have to do. And the first sacrificial system was done in a tent.
So are you talking the sacrificial system like in the book of Leviticus?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the blood, the goats, you bring your... yes, absolutely. You bring the Old Testament sacrificial system, so you go to the altar of sacrifice, right, where you bring your sacrifice, your sin offering. It's tied to the horns of the altar. Its throat slit, the blood is collected, the carcass is burnt on the burning altar. Then there's the whole sprinkling, the whole thing just like it was done in Leviticus.
So the temple has to be built on this
back. Yes, it does. It does need to be on the mount.
Temple mount.
It has to be there. Yeah. But there's still enough room, square footage, there's enough room for both of them. And when this covenant is affirmed, right, not just signed, but when it's affirmed, that will be easily done. That's what the covenant is going to be about. All right, so the Muslims and the Hebrews, because of Father Abraham, or Jacob's dad,
Isaac,
yeah, because of Isaac, that where they came together before they split, that unity that they had there, when that comes together, before the split of the family, right, before those two brothers split apart, they bring that back together, and then both of those brothers, both of the descendants of those brothers can worship on one spot, even with different ideological understandings. All right? Does that make sense? Or is that just like blowing your mind?
So that means the Muslim zone that's there mm-hmm. now doesn't have to be...
Does not have to be removed at this time.
Right.
Esau and Jacob. Yeah.
So the Muslims and the Jews are together?
Yes. Because they're doing that right now.
Yeah.
This Abrahamic Accord, that's what this is doing. It's bringing the Muslim people in accordance with the Hebrew people uniting them again. Go ahead.
Another encouraging part along with the Abrahamic Accord, Israel becoming a nation.
A nation.
Okay. I saw a commercial that there is many calling for the New Testament in Hebrew, saying that we've listened to our rabbis, and they're not making sense.
Yeah,
they put their own law together, it just doesn't make sense. Jesus was my Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
They're realizing that those things.
Abraham, how many world religions came out of Abraham? I'm sorry, hold. How many?
Three.
There's the Christians. Yeah. Jesus came through Abraham. There's the Hebrews. Isaac came through Abraham, and there was Ishmael. He came through the Islamic. So you have the Islamic nations, you have the Christian nations, and you have the Hebrew nations. And this accord is going to tie all of those three as one. This covenant that's talked about in Daniel, he's going to make peace with Israel, with the world. Yes.
So since nobody knows when he's coming, I guess you're supposed to act as if he's coming in the next hour.
Duh. Yeah.
I know.
Sir, you're right. You're absolutely right.
When I was in the Navy, I was standing to watch for my binoculars, and I was about to fall asleep, and this officer walked up and said, "Hey, sailor, what do you see out there?" I said, "Nothing but a lot of water, sir." He said, "Well, carry on."
Yeah.
And I was about to fall asleep.
Yeah. All you got to do there is take a little bit of tobacco, put it in the corner of your eye right here. Every time your eyes go shut, it burns so bad you open them right back up. Old trick.
And all the major religions are waiting for a leader.
Come on.
I'll wait for the 7th Iman, or the wait for the, I don't know what the...
The Hebrews are looking for the one.
The return of our Savior.
The return of the...
Jews are waiting for the Messiah. It's a perfect setup.
It is.
Perfect storm.
Yes.
It's coming. Perfect storm.
Go ahead, brother.
I heard a pastor speak some 12, 15 years ago that the Jews didn't even know why, and it didn't make sense until you just said that. They have a feast where they braid the showbread. All three come to one together as one.
Yeah.
And you just said this, the three seasons coming together.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, it's as simple as...
He says the Hebrews still don't, to this day, don't know why they braid the three together.
Yeah.
The three,
like
the three digits come together, so...
Yeah, like the Seder table.
They do it over and over, and you go, oh, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Most of them don't.
And so, understanding this, this catching away is going to happen when these things happen. All right, in the New Testament, we're told, before the son of perdition, the son of destruction is rising, there's going to be a falling away of sound doctrine. Right? We've gone over that over the last several weeks. So one thing that we know, there'll be a last trumpet, and it'll happen before, oh, I'm sorry, because we haven't gotten to Mark 15. Mark 15 tells us that this will happen before the wrath. Okay, the last trumpet before the wrath. All right?
Pardon? Did you say 18?
Hebrews chapter 13, 35 through 35.
No.
Mark.
Yes. Mark. Yeah. It was written up there. I just can't read it. And so, anybody, Phil, that is the Lord. Lord, if you're there, you can just pick that up.
13:33. I got it.
Oh, actually, sorry. Start at 32.
Okay, 32. Well, of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of Seraphim, neither the Son, but the Father. Seeking ye, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning.
Lest coming suddenly, he should find you asleep. All right. So then he says, stay awake. All right. This again is just talking about we don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen quickly. It must be this 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 9, that talks about before the wrath. All right. So yes.
And over and over again, he's saying, watch.
Okay, so what we're doing in this Bible study, we're watching. And we're not just watching fruitlessly, we're watching for certain events to take place. Okay, we're not just watching and saying, well, I know he's going to come, so I'm just going to stay away. There's a difference between staying awake and staying alert. All right? We need to be alert. We need to be in tune to the Word of God. We need to be looking at what the prophecies say the world was going to look like before Christ comes. Before he comes, he calls his church out, before the terrible day of the wrath of God comes. Yes, my brother. Oh, I thought you had your hand up. I'm paying attention to everybody. I'm not paying attention to
much.
Last
verse 9, 1 Thessalonians.
Yes.
A lot of preachers use that verse as a reason why we won't go through...
Yeah. Well, let's see, right there. Go ahead and read that. Says from 1 through 9.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath.
No, from verse 1.
Oh, from verse. From 1 to 1.
Yep.
Oh, okay. But of the times of the kingdom, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves, no perfect belief that the day of the Lord so cometh, it will be from the night. For one man shall say peace, and say peace, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as the veil cometh upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, so we see some things there. One thing again, the warning, be alert, be awake, be ready. It does tell us that we're not appointed unto wrath. Does anyone know where the wrath of God appears in the Bible? It's the bowls and the trumpets. It's the revelation. The bowls and the trumpets. That's the wrath of God. Up until then, is that the wrath of God? Revelation wrath of God. None of it is. Alright? That's just what happens. That's when God gives mankind over to their sin.
So tribulation first, then the wrath of God?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jesus said that in his word, know that you'll have tribulation. Alright? He said, be watchful. And he told us to look out for some things. A lot of people say that Matthew 24, where Jesus says, look out for the abomination of desolation as it was told about in the book of Daniel. They say that that's for the Jews. Only for the Jews.
Yeah.
Have you heard that? Show me anywhere, please, someone show me and change my way of thinking, where Jesus says, all right, we're not talking about the church anymore, we're talking about the Hebrew people.
Of all more, please.
They get it because it will, if they preach pre-trib rapture, they teach that, they cannot make that scripture fit there. So they tell you something different. They make up a doctrine that they can put in there, right, that makes it sound right. Because you can't find scripture that backs that teaching up.
Yeah, what she just read in 1 Thessalonians 5, it mentions in verse 3, as travail upon a woman with child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then previously in 1 Corinthians 15, we read that it's going to happen in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, the woman travailing with child and moment.
Right.
And the resurrection is mentioned in Isaiah 26.
It sure is. Yeah.
So if you go to Isaiah 26, 16 through 21.
Read it out right here. It's not that many. Oh, I thought you had your Bible open there.
I got it.
What is it? Isaiah
26.
26, 16 through 21.
Right. Yeah. Because Paul said that he wouldn't teach anything but
Scripture.
The Old Testament scriptures would say. They didn't have the New Testament yet.
No. In fact, before you get into that, one thing that I decided not to call the Bible is New Testament and Old Testament. It is Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. God doesn't put a division in there. I mean,
but it's good to know if the Scripture was
was of the prophets.
Before it was
Jesus said, I teach what the prophets taught.
Right.
Paul said, I'll teach what the prophets taught.
Right.
You know, but he didn't say Old Testament.
Right. And Isaiah is one of the prophets.
Yes.
Starting in 16, we're going to see the tribulation in this.
Yeah.
Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And then it goes into the resurrection.
Right.
Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. But we see the word moment.
Mm-hmm.
Which we
woman travailing
and a woman travailing child.
Yeah.
Tribulation. And Paul said he wouldn't say anything about what the
scripture
said. So.
Right. And so you have the antitype, right, spoken of in Isaiah. Then you have the type being taught about through Paul in Thessalonians. The type being taught about by Christ in Matthew 24, Mark 13. There's the type, and saying these things are going to happen. So you have a type in the Old Testament, a type in the New Testament. Both of them are prophesying the thing that's still yet to happen. Right? And he's talking about the dead in Christ, the dust that's going to give up, you know, rejoice. You've been dead for a while, be happy. You've been in Abraham's bosom for a You're in Abraham's bosom for a while. You were happy. You were in good. You were in a pleasant, peaceful place after you died. Y'all remember about the story of Abraham's bosom in Luke 19, 16 or 16, 19, one or the other. Anyhow, y'all know the story, so don't gotta really go back and talk about it. There you go. Small words are better for me. And so we don't gotta go back and rehash all that out. But we know that two men died. One went to a place of torment. One went to a place of rest and peace called Abraham's bosom. Now, since Jesus has died and resurrected, when the Christian dies, his body lays in the ground, decays like every other thing. That you are created from the dust, and from the dust you shall return. But the real you goes to a place, and Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me, where? In paradise. So wherever you go is a lot better than here. Amen. So it's okay. There will be a day that all those bodied people will put on a new creation, a new thing. You will be illuminated with the Shekinah of God. Right? And that's a very exciting time. That's a very exciting thing. And those who are still on the earth, right, roaming around, walking, eating, drinking, when that day comes, you will put on the Shekinah glory of God. Your body will fall over dead, and you're going to leave. Right? You're because the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh never goes to the kingdom. Only the real you will go. The bag gets left. Right?
So like at the tribulation, you're saying there's going to be a bunch of skin and bones just lying.
There's going to be people dead. Where the buzzards gather, that's what Jesus calls it. You know, buzzards don't gather over nothing. Right, no, not over livestock.
You know. So if we look at verse 5 here, back into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, ye are all the children of light, meaning those of us who are saved, right?
Yeah.
And not the children of the day. We are not of the, verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief.
Right.
So, as it said before, we were being, coming to the east in the night. It's going to come.
Yeah.
But it's not going to really surprise us because we're watching.
There you go.
Right?
You're expecting it. You're watching it. Yeah. The signs that lead up to it. And so those who love the truth, right? Paul talks about there will be a God will send a deception to those who do not love the truth. All right, he's going to send this. God is going to send a deception to cover the eyes and the understanding of people who don't really love the truth. Right? They believe in the pastors. They believe in the doctrine that the pastors taught. But do you really believe what the Bible said, not about what Dr. Seuss said? Right? We are seeing that now. I think that's why this teaching is so important for these times. Because we have been lulled into a sleep, and there's not many people awake right now. You know, and I pray that we talk about a great awakening. It's high time that we come out of our slumber. Right? Because the day of our redemption draws nigh.
I was reading the other day, and what was leading up to it, to the fact that I will come as a thief in the night, everything that before that led me to believe that if we are not aware, he will come as a thief in the night.
Right.
And when I was reading that, I thought, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. If we're not watching, and we're not aware, that's when he's going to come as a thief in the night.
Right. John also said, because you're absolutely right, if you're not looking, it's going to take you by surprise.
Right.
That's what makes it. Yes. Some are, the majority aren't. Okay? There are, praise God, there are some that are anticipating. In fact, there's a crown that is talked about, those who love the resurrection, who are looking for the return. You get a special reward for that. That is praise God. Amen? Yeah, my brother.
Well, how many are believing the lie that the Old Testament isn't necessary for today?
More than I want to think about. You know?
Yeah. How can you be watching?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And Andy Stanley, brother of the biggest church in Atlanta, Georgia, does not believe that you need the full account of the scriptures of God, because we're underneath the new covenant. And so, in that, you're bubbling over there.
Well,
yeah.
I just want to make some points that in studying the scriptures, I've seen things a certain way. And it says, because Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 here, he says, when is this going to happen? When? And it says, when they, the non-believers, say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, boom. Hits them.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, but we are not in the darkness of that day.
There you go.
Take us.
Yes. Because why shouldn't it overtake the true believers, the ones who love the word? Well, and
we
have the
Word
in you. We have the Holy Ghost and the Scripture.
Right?
We have those two that bear witness. And His Spirit talks to our spirit and it confirms what the Word of God says. Okay, I got three.
I think this is important. It says, when they shall say peace and safety.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean, when they shall say peace and safety?
Revelation 11.
Yeah.
When the two witnesses are killed, because they see them as bringing the plagues down. They're like, angels when the fire and the trumpets off.
Yeah.
So they're getting.
The
earth is going through some bad stuff.
Right, yes.
So,
because the two witnesses that were testifying against the world system are taken out of the way.
Yeah.
Because the church is taken out of the way.
Right. Each other presents.
Right.
Well, remember, they rejoice and they give gifts to one another, saying, peace and safety,
They're gone.
So now we have peace,
right.
And now we have faith because they are gone.
Right.
So we're not doing like right now when people are saying, you know.
No, see, we're looking, what you're thinking about, probably how you've been taught, that the world is telling you that there'll be no atomic war, there's going to be no battles,
right.
All that. Remember, there's always power behind the horns.
Yeah, Christ said there'll be a time worse than man's ever seen since creation, you know, during the end of time. So it's going to get really bad.
Yeah.
So it's got to get very bad before we get to this where they're saying,
remember, they will wax worse and worse.
Right.
It's not going to get better and better.
And they see the two witnesses as the ones causing the plagues on earth, which they are involved with it.
Right.
So when they're killed, then the people of the earth say, hey, the world war is over.
Yeah.
We won. Our God, the Antichrist.
And they do it for 3 days.
Three and a half days.
And then they say, when do they come?
They say, oops.
Look at that. It's at the 3.5 year mark of the Revelation.
So are we still here at that point?
Yes, the church is still here. All right, and we can prove that. All right, we'll get to that. We'll unveil that as we go. Something that Jesus said, really important, John 6, 39, 40, 44, and 54, I will raise them up when?
The last day.
The last day. All right, okay. When are you going to get raised up?
The last day.
Do you believe what Pastor so-and-so said, that you're going to be raised up and there's still 7 years of tribulation to go? Or do you believe what Jesus said? Okay, I trust Jesus more than I trust the doctor.
Jack, here, a lot of these theologians are just... They're creating theological practice here.
Okay, right. And really and truly, one thing that we need to be sure of is we need to be awake and anticipating, making adjustments in my life so when that day happens, it does not overtake us as a thief. All right, that's the biggest thing about the resurrection. That's the biggest thing about the apocalypse.
But isn't the last day the last day that the Christians God's people.
There you go.
It's not necessarily the last day, because if that's the case, we've got a 1,000-year reign yet of Christ on the earth.
Absolutely. You know, so you got to look at what that bar of the last day, the last bar. It has to tie in with the trumpet, and it has to tie in before the wrath of God.
Now, along with that, we're talking about the church being taken away. We've got a vice president who thinks that the church ought to be taken away today.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, one coming up, I should say.
Right.
Okay. And I sent you last night.
Yes.
I don't know whether you got a chance to see it.
I didn't open it up. Yeah.
The Chinese fella who said we had to get rid of Trump because he couldn't be bought.
Okay, hold up just a second. Doug. Is it Doug? What's the guy representing? No, hold on a second. I know that y'all are talking, having on a conversation.
Well, it's looking for some way, guys.
Okay, well, if you do it, I hear you talking. Okay, so go ahead, Al.
When I sent you that, they've got a 10-minute clip from the fellow from the professor from China, who said Trump had to be taken out of the way because he couldn't be bought.
Mm-hmm.
For years, we've taken Wall Street. We've got presidents who've been bought by China, and we had to take him out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. This is getting set up to get the Christian church out of the way.
Yes, and there's what you're saying. Remember, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then the son of perdition will show up. The rising of the little horn. He's already rising, just nobody's seen him yet. All right? So what happens? Who's resisting? What does the word letteth, I guess, would be a great place to go with that phrase. What does letteth mean? It's not something that you put in your salad.
Allows.
One who resists. And what we think letteth as allows. In the old English, back in Shakespeare's time, in fact, he wrote several poems back in the 1500s, and he used the word letteth as resist. Okay?
You know, I had somebody, a friend of mine, you know, Tommy.
Yeah.
He went through every single place where the word let appears.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't see that in the let meaning permitting.
Right.
Like to allow it to happen.
Yes.
And that old English, the old English, people fall back. Well, mm-hmm. the old English, they would say, let it is to hinder.
Right.
And apparently it's not any other words.
Yeah.
So people said, well, okay, what does that, you know, what, you know. That, that,
so then you guys come back, what does that word let mean? Because you're right. Throughout all the scriptures, when it says let, it means to allow something to happen.
Yeah.
But in the translation of this one, when they say let, they say, the doctors, theologians say that it means to resist. So, what does it mean to allow to resist? So, if you, he that led it, where's that first or second Thessalonians?
First Thessalonians 5:10.
Okay. Now,
7 or 8.
First Thessalonians 5:7. Now, he that sleeps late at night, that's 1 Thessalonians 5. Let us also be sober at the day.
8, begin to read, but let us.
No. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I think that's 2
Thessalonians 2:7.
Okay, so 2 Thessalonians, we're going to read it with both of those words. 2 Thessalonians 2, okay. So in 2, and we'll read it with allowing the first time, and then resisting the second time. All right? 2:8. We'll have to start up at 2:7. Okay, 2:7. All right, so we'll start in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, but only he who now allows will allow until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked one will be revealed, of whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Alright? He who allows will allow until God comes and kills him, right?
Can I give you the commentary on 2:7?
Okay.
Okay, it says, he who letteth will let. He who now restrains will restrain it. The Antichrist is now being held back by a restrainer. Some understand this to be God indwelling the church by the Holy Spirit, while others in human government as the restraint. According to the former view, the removal will be at the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. According to the latter, at the overthrow of human government by the Antichrist.
Who has the Greek understanding of that word, the proper Greek? Okay, because when you're looking that up in your computer thingy there, we're going to go ahead and read it with the other friends, with the resisting instead of the allowing in it. For the mystery of iniquity, all right, what is the mystery of iniquity? I guess because that's a big question. He's the Antichrist, right? The son of perdition, the mystery of iniquity. I'll read it with the allowing first, okay? For the Antichrist is already at work. Only he who allows will allow until he be taken away. And then that wicked one is revealed, all right? So,
that could mean when he's taken out of the way, he's killed.
It could, but what does it say?
But he gets revealed when he gets possessed and heals from the heavens, right?
He gets revealed when he sits down in the temple and calls himself God.
Right, but that's after his resurrection.
I would have to do more thought into that, you know.
This is a hard part.
This is a hard part. I'm not taking this lightly. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so there's two different ways to think about this, and ways that we try to understand it. And I wish they would have used a different word here. All right. Because there's the way that Americans today think of lead. All right, we allow something, I let it happen, right? Then there's the old English ways that means let it is resist. All right, so if we just read it twice with the allowing. All right, now if you read it with the resisting, for the mystery of iniquity is already at work, only he who resists will resist until he's taken out of the way. And then that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. If you look at as resist, who's resisting, and how long are we going to resist, and what's going to happen? What are we resisting?
42 months.
Right.
The mark of the beast.
We're resisting to take the mark of the beast. We're resisting to go into the world system. We're resisting to allow gay marriage to take place. We're resisting abortion. We're resisting women in the pulpit. We're resisting the world system. And we will resist until we're taken out of the way. This is not, in my opinion, doesn't mean rapture. This means the church will be segregated out of society. Our influence in the political realm will be silenced and taken away. Once the church is taken away out of circulation, then that wicked one will be able to rise and not have anybody to resist it. The world system will take over. I mean, that's a hypothesis.
Right, but we're here for the 42.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he's gonna.
Yes.
Daniel 7.
Absolutely, we're here. We're here in a very interesting thing called FEMA camps. For 3.5 years. You won't talk about a great awakening? Imagine all the ones who call themselves Christians and stand against the evil all gathered together in these camps all over the world.
Could I read the Daniel's song out of Daniel 7?
Yeah, please.
Now the little horn is the Antichrist.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to start Daniel 7, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christ comes, the Ancient of Days before Abraham, I am.
Yeah.
So he's going to make war with us until Christ shows up.
Yeah.
He prevails.
Right.
And thus
he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, previous, and shall devour the whole earth, and and shall tread it down and break it to pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and others shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. But
now, where does it say that he's going to wear out the saints? I know that's in that
verse 25.
All right. And so this little horn that rises, he's going to wear out the saints.
Yep.
Okay, so how can we be wore out if we ain't here?
Right.
Okay. Say that again. Those were the people who were saved in the tribulation or after the tribulation?
In
the tribulation. There won't be a lot of people saved during the tribulation period. They really will. But there's also a lot of people who confess to be Christian that are not really Christian, and when they get put into this place, that they become Christians, that they actually believe. Yeah. You know, are there tribulation saints? Absolutely, there will be tribulation saints. There will be 144,000 virgin Hebrew males telling the Word of God. Right? There's 144,000 Hebrew males, that 12,000 from each tribe. And they're all expressing...
They're like shock troops.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're a whole different
breed. They're a whole different breed. Oh, yeah. They're a whole different breed of evangelists.
It's the JWs,
is what Alan said.
Not where they got their name.
There's a lot of stuff here to unfold. All right, there really is. Now, what you got, now?
He didn't mention just respect.
Okay. So. Not that you can't talk. I'd love to hear what you're saying. But if you're going to say something, say it to the audience here.
144,000 are virgins, but the defilement by women goes beyond virginity, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're undefiled by women.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, in this last day, Jesus said some funny things about it. The last day will be like it was in the days of Noah and like in the days of Sodom, or the days of Lot in the town of Sodom. So we have some more pictures to look at. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, there are some things that the Lord told me at time. Let's go ahead and open your Bibles. Because if Jesus says that these things are important, I guess before we get to Genesis, we need to read Luke 17, 26 through 30, because that's where he tells us that. That way you don't think it's my own imagination. Luke 17, 26 through 30. There's a whole big thing that's there. I'm just going to pull out this a little bit right here so that we'll know where we're going.
As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
All right. So what's it going to be like?
As it was in the days of Lot.
Lot and all. Yeah. You're going to be living life, living la vida loca. Right? You're going to just be doing the thing. You're going to enjoy life. You're married. You're given in marriage. Every day is like the next day, like the last day. And then all of a sudden, judgment comes. As a thief in the night. Yes, ma'am.
I got a question.
Yeah.
You said about 144,000.
Yes.
Will they just be witnessing to Jewish or everybody?
Doesn't say.
So you don't know.
I believe with that many Hebrew males, do you understand how many 42,000 is? 144,000. That's a lot of people. I mean, that's a lot of that is a huge force, and they have a special anointing from God. This isn't just your regular evangelist like Leo Sparks or whoever that guy you keep talking about. You know, it's not like one of those Leo Kirkle Dawn, right? It's not like one of those kind of guys. These men have a special fire that's sent from the Holy Ghost.
They're marked too,
and they are marked. Amen. They are sealed with the power of God, all right? And they're special. They're like the the Delta Force, the Navy SEALs, they are the baddest of the bad evangelists ever on the face of the earth. Right? And they're, during that time, they are exploding on the scene. And I don't think they'll care if you're a Gentile or a Jew or a Muslim or whoever. They're going to come and they're going to tell you about the day of Christ. Right? So you ask, will they only be witnessing to Israel? No, they're going to be witnessing to anybody who has an ear.
Well,
has a lot of resistance, but there's a lot of things. Remember, God has sent a strong delusion to those who don't believe the truth, who don't love the truth. He sent a great darkening of true doctrinal understanding. Right? And it's, well, when God does something like this, it is huge.
So when they do that, they get a lot of people on earth saying.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say that. Jeremiah witnessed for years and nobody got saved. Nobody in Jeremiah only prayed to the Lord. And so it doesn't say that they do, but I would like to think that they do.
Well, more important, too.
Right.
I'm just after the building started after the time of the arts.
Yes, right. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Go ahead.
The important part is nobody will be able to stand before God and say, I did not hear.
Amen.
That's it.
That's right. And so in Genesis chapter 6, right, we have the account of Noah's day. We're going to pick out some things as we go through that, because there's some specific things that are going to be pointed out. Remember, Jesus said it will be like unto this when these things happen. All right, this is what it's going to look like. All right, so 6, verses 1 through 13. Genesis 6, 1 through 13. And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God, who are the sons of God, real quick, make sure we understand, angelic hosts. All right, the angelic hosts, the sons of God, saw the daughters of them, that they were fair. And they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. Some, same, became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every imagination of their thought, of the thoughts of their heart, was only evil continually. And God repented, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, and Japheth. All right. And the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth. Behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his ways on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark, go for wood. No. I had to go that far. Make thee an ark, go for wood. Right, anyhow, how to go for wood. And then he tells him how to build that particular ship. What were the characteristics of the earth at the time of the flood of Noah? Because Jesus said it would be a
violence.
Just like today.
DNA corrupted.
There's a lot of things that happen that says, my spirit will not always strive. What does my spirit will not always strive mean?
He's not going to fight forever.
I'm not going to put up with you guys forever.
You made your mindset.
Yep. There is a due time, right? There was a due time. God said, all right, I see the stuff. It stinks here. The heart of man was continually on evil. Now, there were some supernatural things that were happening. The DNA, the generations, the genome of man had been corrupted. How? By angels. They saw women. They were beautiful, right? And said, I want to breed with that beautiful creation that God has created. And out of them came Nephilim. Out of them came men of renown. Giants.
Og, Bashan.
Og, yeah. And so men with six fingers on their hands. You know, stuff like that. And so I see some questions out there. I see some faces that say, what do you mean? There are actually archaeological evidences that there were men that stood well over 13 feet.
Abraham Lincoln talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote about it.
Who?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, yeah.
That's right.
He talked about it. There were men on the planet, on this planet, that were true giants.
I often wonder, you know, all the mythological people,
yes. All that men of renown. Yes. I believe that. Because there are too many stories around the world. Okay? If it was just one pocket, right, a few folks in the middle of the desert, they said they had this thing, you know, and one big guy, you know, and that's one thing. But when you have it in China, you have it in Russia, you have it in Europe, you even have it in the Americas. The Indians, you know why they say how? Like this, you know why they do that? To make sure you ain't got six fingers. That was the whole reason that the American Indians, they would look at it, you greet each other like this, how? And the reason that they did that, they wanted to make sure that you were not one of those men who were cannibals in their own day. And they were marked by six toes and six fingers. Before the flood, or after the flood, the earth was all together frozen by ice. It was easy. There was a real ice age. All right, it was absolute. Remember the atmosphere; everything changed. Noah got off the ark. All of the people group gathered together in Babylon. Right. And they said, hey, I'm going to build a tower that reaches unto God. And God came down and saw the wickedness that they were doing. And what did he do? Confused their language and scattered them over the earth. So God said, Indians, Chinese, Ukrainian, South American.
So they had traveled the seas to Egypt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Traveled the seas, or God transluted them. You know, I really don't know. I wasn't alive then. You know? Yeah.
Well, I thought I heard somebody say someone was, I was like 20 or 30 feet.
Could have been. I wasn't alive then. I know that there were giants. Okay? The Bible says there were giants.
They found a man's footprint.
Yes.
4 feet.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
In rock. And it's actually standing up like
this. About a third.
Yeah. There are true things on this planet. Well, this is a huge foot. It's a big foot. And you can look it up. There's actually a picture of a man that's 6 foot tall, and the toes were higher than he could reach. Okay, so that lets you know how big the foot was. And you can look at it. It is a humanoid foot with 6 toes.
And of course, you know, when Israel came into the land,
yes,
they encountered the sons
the
of
Anak. Son,
and they said, we're grasshoppers in their sight.
Right.
And they consumed the land. And then were the initial spies that spied out the land. And they said, it's a great land, but the sons of Anak, the giants are in the land. We can't go in. So that was really the 40-year punishment of God to that generation to be finished off was a direct result of
when they came into the land.
Of the angelic host going into the knowledge of
man.
So it waves spread through history.
Well,
you got to remember, two men carried a bunch of grapes out with a stick.
With a stick.
What kind of
grapes? Those are big grapes.
Yeah.
These are talking about grapes of wrath. These would do it. All right. So anyhow, and thinking of that, when they did cross over the Jordan and come into the promised land, everybody was divided their portion of land. And Caleb, who was a Gentile, right? What did he say? Give me the land. Give me the land that the giants still live in.
He went after them.
He went after them. He wasn't afraid. He was, because he wanted the first. So when he said, give me the land where the giants were that were in them, who was there?
The Amorites.
And in fact, wasn't there a portion of scripture where one of the kings of Anakin had like a 12-foot bed? His bed was absolutely. And so there were true ginormous humans, right? And they were the descendants. And even in the Genesis account, he says there were giants and after that, right? So they didn't all drown in the flood. You know, their genome, remember, when Noah, how many people on the ark had the perfect gene sequence?
One.
No. His sons were corrupted. Doesn't say that they found that their generation was perfect. Remember Noah married a woman? Where did that woman come from? What was her genome? All right? How many here know about recessive genes? Right? Okay, so you got a person that has red hair, right? In your family, we got a grandson, the only grandson we have with bright, fluorescent, Ronald McDonald hair. All right? I mean, red hair. Beautiful young man. All of the other kids have blonde or brown hair. I don't know what hair, color hair the postman had, but I don't think she was that kind of guy. You know? So there was a recessive gene somewhere on those, I don't know where it comes from, but that came out. A recessive gene of the giants. All right? That it was there. And that's why when God said, go and kill everything that breathes breath, man, animal, woman, and children in the promised land, he was trying to eradicate that breed of people, the genome.
The corrupt DNA. That would never be talked about it earlier, like when I would first become a Christian. That was never, you know, they would talk about exterminating and cleansing the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God was, but it was so important for the preachers then to say, hey, why?
Yeah.
Why was this going on? Well, it was because the sons of God were going, and the land had been corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
God was doing a major reset.
Yeah, God wasn't doing it just because
he was
doing it.
Yes.
He was doing it because there's a corrupted DNA strain in the land, and he was there to wipe it out.
Jesus Christ has been born on that land.
Amen.
Then why not only save Noah and nothing?
Because then when he got off the boat, he could not breathe. You know? Yeah, a man cannot have a baby by himself. You know, you got to have the other side. Right? And because that's the way God made things. And remember, God knew all these things that were going to happen before he ever planted the earth. While the darkness was still on the face of the waters, God knew all this.
He gives free choice.
Yeah, he gives man
will.
A free choice. All right? And now, in our daytime, in our time, right now, that we're living in, we're not going to get into this, but we still got more of this. I want you to know something about this vaccine. FYI, about the vaccine. You know that there is a trademark, a regular trademark for it. Okay? This trademark was filed March 26, 2020. And the trademark is this, the vaccine trademark, WO, World Order, 2020-666. That is the patent number of the vaccine.
That's WO 2020
60606. You can look it up at the patent office. They ain't ashamed of it. Alright, just FYI, just real quick thing. The genome was messed up. Jesus said, I'm coming back when it was as the days of Noah.
Yeah.
How many people are lining up to get their genome messed up?
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Irretrievable.
Yeah.
Once you mess your
genome up, you cannot fix it. The only way to fix it is for God to destroy everything that lives.
And well, I heard that they're putting
Nephilim DNA. Yeah.
DNA in there.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying, how did they get Nephilim DNA?
Injecting it into people with the vaccine.
During the full first Gulf War, Kuwait. What did Kuwait? I believe, but it was
over Kuwait.
Yeah.
It was over Kuwait.
Yeah, it was over Kuwait. was indeed one of the giants. They were warned that they were there. This giant came out and killed many of the Navy SEALs. They managed to take him down. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know. It's out there. You can find it. The story's out there if they haven't erased it. But when it first happened, I thought it was supernatural, right? That was just made up. It's just a story. But there's too many people that knew about this individual that was living in that area.
Is this one?
One. Yeah. And they got his DNA when the SEAL finally took
him.
Where
did you
say
that
was? Oh, it was the Gulf War.
The Giant of Kandahar.
Yeah, the Giant of Kandahar.
Right, right.
And so you can look it up, the Giant of Kandahar. All right, so there are... K-E-N-D-A-H-A-R. Kandahar. It's not kind of hard, only easier. Kandahar.
D-A-R.
D-H-A-R.
D-A-H-A-R.
Yeah, Kandahar. Well... Sorry, but anyhow, so like Jacob said, when he first said that, it blew my mind. And I said, dude, I don't know if that's true or not. I need to look into it. Well, I've looked into it, all right? And there's more truth to that than what you might think.
This ain't Kansas anymore.
This ain't Kansas.
Well, why wouldn't they want to do that? They're Satan worshippers.
Not only did they want to do it, I didn't know that they had it. Right? They want to do it, but did they have it?
Well, I heard they found Nephilim bodies in Antarctica.
Yeah.
When they went down.
When they went and...
They got to civilization where, you know, the ice was...
Well, here's a mind blower. They have found woolly mammoths with food in their belly, right, during the Ice Age. Right? Now, when we talk about climate change, I think that's real climate change, right?
It's instantaneous.
It wasn't like over 100 years you're going to lose a degree. No, these animals were walking, chewing food, and they froze to death instantly. That's climate change, all right. So
the ones in Antarctica were average 14 feet.
Yeah, right. 13-14 feet. You know, so I know that this is Twilight Zone kind of stuff.
This is X-Files.
That kind of thing, and a lot of that's why they call us a cult. Because all of that aside, just coming back to what the Bible says, right? The Bible says, Jesus says, it will look like this in that day. And when judgment comes, it comes then, quickly, like a thief in the night. Bam, it's going to happen. So Genesis 18, verse 20, and then 19, verse 11, talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. We already know that account, right? Do we need to go and read it? Okay, so we know the account. And so a cry came from Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins were grievous. And then God said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to check it out. I'm going to bring a couple of my boys, a couple of angels, and we're going to go down there. And they stop on the way there to talk to Abram. And he says, hey, what's going on? In fact, the Lord said, can I do such a thing without consulting with my friend Abraham? Yeah. Right? So, yeah, I like we were close. I didn't know him that well. And so, anyhow, so he comes, God comes, and Abraham makes the meal for him, the milk, and all the stuff that he prepares. And then the two angelic hosts go on into Sodom. Right? And when they go into Sodom, they come to Lot. Then the people of Sodom, what did they do? The men of Sodom? They came to the door. And they wanted to rape the two angelic hosts. All right? They wanted them. All right? And so, yeah, you're saying, really? I want to rape an angel? They were homosexuals, as kind as any homosexual you can find today.
And that's what the Catholic Bible uses that term.
I didn't say that they were kind, is it? As kind as
they use it.
And so, the viciousness of it, even Lot wanted to take his virgin daughters and put them outside. Right? Well, in the age and the time when you came into my house, it was my responsibility to defend you at all costs. All right, and that was a custom, even throwing your family away. You know, they would do that just to protect the person that was there.
I really wasn't worried about his daughters.
I think because of what they were after. They weren't after them.
Yeah, true. Yeah. The girls, obviously, the girls were virgins because we know that they were virgins when they went into the hill and bred with their dad.
Right.
A little weird in itself. And so, but that's a little bit further down the storyline.
It just shows you how blessed we are.
Amen.
How can you imagine something like the son and your daughter up to anybody?
But look at what the angels did. They sent blindness into the camp. Right? What did Jesus say he was going to do to the unbelievers, to the ones who were filled with violence? He's going to send a blindness, a deception, a strong deception. Every time God sends judgment, first he sends the person to square things away. When that doesn't work, he sends a deep blindness into the hearts of mankind, and then he sends the judgment. There'll be a falling away. Those who do not love the truth will be blinded. After they get blinded, God sends the judgment. Now, this year in Las Vegas, it happened real quick. Right? It was just like, well, I don't know, Sodom and Gomorrah was probably going on for a while. You know, so they had progressively got worse and worse. In Noah's day, they had progressively got worse and worse. And
I don't see a hard time understanding how God considered him righteous. He loves
us all well. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know anybody who's standing for God in New York? Because we ain't no better than them. Right? Is there anybody standing for God in California? All right. Peter says that righteous man was vexed daily, as he said at the gate. Peter called him out a righteous man. He was righteous. And God thought he was righteous enough to save him out of it. His wife wasn't. She turned around and became a salt lick. Right? She went back. I want to go back to the old lifestyle. I want to go back to watching my daytime porn stuff, but Days of Our Lives or General Hospital or whatever it is today. I'm sorry.
Or did she want to go back to her children?
Her children were with her.
But they had others that were married that were still there.
And really?
I think so.
Okay, show me. Because if it's there, yeah, exactly. I mean, because if it's there, it's there. And I may have read that quickly and didn't catch that, that they had other children. All I knew is that Lot had two daughters that had never been married. Okay, because when they escaped.
Okay, if you look at verse 12, it says, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." And then on the 14, "And Lot went out and stayed to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Get up, get out of this place."
There must have been. There must have been. You're right. I've read that a dozen times. I've never caught that. That's why he has a whole body.
I always felt sorry for Lot's wife.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, if my kids were back there, I would want to see what would happen to them.
Yeah. And so, that's an aspect I've never looked at before. In fact, I've read that account.
Yeah, sure.
I've read that account dozens of times, and I've never picked that nugget up. Praise God for that. That's
where her heart was.
Well, because that's what I was just going to say, but God probably, God knew where her heart was.
Maybe
he knew that her heart wasn't for her children, but for her old way of life.
More that she loved them
more than him.
Absolutely.
So God knows the heart.
He judges the heart. And he judges the heart.
And that's a prayer that we have to be saying to ourselves, because when this time comes, man, my heart's for my grandchildren.
Yeah.
Those grandchildren, what do they know?
Right.
Okay.
That's why you do the work now.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's exactly right. Because we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We know the season. Unfortunately, 95% of the churches in the world are not recognizing the season that we're in. All right? We already know that no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. We know that. We understand that. But what we do know is that every time he says that, we've all got to be alert. We've all got to be reading the scripture. We all need to know the season that it is. With the vaccine that's going on right now, I was told, and I've said this 1,000 times, I was told I would never see anything that even resembled the mark of the beast. We would be raptured out of here long before any of that happens. Well, brothers and sisters, this vaccine resembles the mark of the beast so tightly. So tightly. If you do not have this vaccine, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. What's the mark of the beast say? All right, you'll not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And they're going to make the beast speak. The colossus that's built up in the Revelation, and the power is going to be given from the dragon, and it's going to speak. Siri, can you change my TV? Right? Siri, can you play my favorite song?
Yeah.
All right. So it starts out, remember, I don't believe that this vaccine is that mark, but it is definitely a prelude to the mark, to that one. It started even with something as simple as a mask. I know the mask is not the mark of the beast, but if I don't have the mask, I'm not welcome into most places that do commerce. Right? They will run you out. They will shame you out if you don't wear the mask. There's identification markers in the vaccine. And my cell phone is going to be able to tell anybody else whether I have had that marker in me. And if I don't have that marker in me, I will be considered unclean. The next phase of this, because remember, this vaccine is not the cure. Everything they told you about the vaccine, the truth is, if you take the vaccine, you still got to wear a mask, you still got to stay 6 feet apart, and you still got to separate. The next revolution of this vaccine will very well be that Luciferian is, and what's that one? It has a picture of the bike on it. It's it's a peeling stick vaccine.
Oh, like a Band-Aid.
Like a Band-Aid, right? We already have that technology for, like, if you have chronic pain, you can put the patch on you, and it gives a little time release thing. Well, that's being absorbed through the skin without any puncture wounds. This next one, it's like Velcro, only razor sharp teeth. And so when you put this thing on you, it injects the vaccine into you. All right, but you're going to have to willfully do it. The government's not going to make you do it.
They're going to send it in the mail.
They're going to send it in the mail, or they'll send it by drones. They'll send it by drones. You know that already right now they have the technology. I can fly a drone to your house. It'll drop down, ring your doorbell, especially if you have a smart house. Ring your doorbell for you, open it, and the drone will speak to you. This is your medication for the day. And it will watch you. All right? I don't want to take it right now. Yes, you do. I don't want to take it right. Yes, you do. You'll take it right now. Well, you leave, and then that just keeps ringing your doorbell, calling you. How often do you get called by stupid robocalls now?
A lot.
Now imagine if they're doing that to you continuously day and night. And then the cops come to your house, the Gestapo. Today, people make you take some vaccine, or you will be surprised. State troopers, absolutely. By the grace of God, most of us elderly folks are going to be killed before this. What has my concern is the young people that are here. Okay? Right.
I was thinking about that because, you know, it's not to be super warm, but this is me and her. At
yeah.
Home. What would we do? I don't even know. Should we try to resist as much as possible and send it there?
He will resist until he be taken out of the way. And so what will happen? You don't take the patch. You don't take it. You refuse it. All right? They're not going to force you. They cannot. Like I say, the only way they're going to force me to do it is to kill me and shoot me up. All right? Which will do them no good. That's the only way they're going to force it, because I will fight to the death. They will not do it without a real physical struggle. I'm just that stubborn. All right?
Was it Revelation 13 says that you'll have to die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's going to create a desire for people to want to take that.
So, amen.
When he was tempted in the garden, Satan didn't coerce her.
No.
He simply made suggestions to
In Canada, they're already doing this with the vaccine. If you take the vaccine, we will clear all of your debt. All right? You don't have no house payment. You don't have
a desire to do it.
That's a desire to do it. Right? All I got to do is put this little patch on. All I got to do is take this little bandage, stick it on me. All of a sudden, I don't have any house payments, don't have any electrical payments. I never have to worry about food again. It's just going to show up magically in my account, which is going to be captured right here on my hand. So when I go through the grocery store, I fill up what I want in the grocery basket, and I go,
I heard one commenter this week say that on television and magazine ads, most of the commercials, a large number, are for drugs.
Yes.
And then they show all the warnings. Do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
It interacts with this, caution, blah, blah, blah. But with the vaccine, just take it.
Yeah.
There is no warning.
There is no warning. In fact, they're telling me the vaccine is absolutely safe. So I'm not saying that this vaccine is that mark, but I'm definitely saying it is the forerunner of that mark. Okay? Yes.
But if it has the Nephilim DNA in it, might just as well get it marked.
Thank you. And again, with what I have heard that is in the vaccine, Debbie and I got something to give you guys that are here with us right now. But the stuff that is in the vaccine right now changes your thought process. All right? You inject it, and it actually changes the way that you think about things. And you'll easily be able to be controlled by the nanotechnology that is in. That's why they have to keep it at 400 degrees below zero to keep that thing from activating. All right, so they freeze it, hardcore froze. They thaw it out for 24 hours, and then it starts to activate like anything.
Are there certain companies that are doing this, or they're all doing it?
If you look at Moderna and Pfizer, Pfizer started first, it's run by Gates. Moderna was started as a co-subsidiary of Pfizer, and it's run by Fauci. Fauci is a major stockholder in Moderna. Okay.